We are joined by our good friend and one of my two co-hosts on the Texans post-game show, former Texans wide receiver, Cecil Shorts, who I am sitting amongst fathers of newborns. Adam, your baby was born a couple of months ago, right?
10 weeks old
10 weeks ago. And Cecil's like, hold my beer, because he's like, I had three kids. And somewhere Cecil's wife is like, no, I had three kids.
Right.
You're the father. Cecil, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm all right, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
He doesn't look like he's missing sleep.
No, he looks...
I play it off well. And we got to...
Do you still work out?
You know what? I haven't since the babies. So... when the triplets got here, September 17th, for about a month, I was still working out.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'm like, it's too much. I got to be at home, help the kids.
How?
When did you go,
morning or night?
I went morning.
Okay.
I went morning because the morning time, our nanny was there. My mother-in-law and father-in-law were in town.
Right.
And my father-in-law doesn't go to work until like 1:30. So I'm like, cool. Drop the kids off at school. Boom, go straight to work out. But it was just too much. Because by the time I got done working out, I'm tired, and it was just too much.
Cecil, actually, Adam, owns a gigantic white van that looks like a bus.
Big Z.
For real, Big Z.
Big Z.
Named after Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Oh, yeah. Strong. Strong nickname. Do the wheels come off every now and again?
Nah.
Because his did.
Come off.
Yeah, when we see you on the side of the road on 288, we'll know, like, that is
Big Z.
Big Z, 12-passenger van, baby.
That is Big Z. But you have to plan a tailgate party here pretty soon. As long as I'm sitting here talking about 8-foot subs. You, I think a lot of the folks know you went to Mount Union.
Yes.
Which is like the Alabama of Division III football.
That's a great great analogy.
It's like the dominant Division III program, and they've made the championship once again, which happens to be here in Texas, right?
Yeah, it's in
Shenandoah.
Shenandoah.
Up in the Woodlands.
So it's about 45 to an hour.
Yeah,
right from where we stay at.
So you're planning the tailgate, or you're helping plan?
I'm helping. So a guy, a former alumni who named Mark Kingston, he gave me a call. Like he lives down here in Houston as well. Like, hey, let's put together a tailgate. I'm like, okay, cool, let's do it. And he's like, he comes up with all these random ideas. It's going to be a pretty big event, so it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be my first tailgate ever attending.
That's okay. That's what I wanted to get
to. So I'm excited.
You've never been to a tailgate party. We forget these players don't get to party.
They're getting ready to play.
Yeah.
Never. So I'm excited about it. I don't know what to wear. I probably have some sweatpants on, t-shirt, Mount Union geared out.
Yeah, load up on the Mount Union guy. As someone who's been to a few hundred tailgate parties, no one's going to judge you for what you're wearing at the tailgate.
Cool, I'm excited. Get some nice food.
Are they favored in this game?
You know what? I haven't seen the line, but I'm assuming so.
Yeah, just based on pedigree.
I'm assuming so. The last three, let's see, we've been to the last maybe 10 national championships.
How many did they win when you were there?
I was there 5 years. We won 5. We won 2.
Did you get rings?
Yep.
You still have them?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, actually, my father took them from me. I gave them to him. He never gave them back.
What was that about?
He's like the hoarder. He keeps every item that his kids win, every trophy.
So it's somewhere.
Does he have a trophy room, or is it a mantle situation?
He got a nice little room in his basement.
That's kind of cool.
Kind of like a man cave type thing.
He probably got safer there anyways. Everywhere.
It is.
Triplets running around the house.
Well, yeah, I guess so. The triplets aren't. I mean, it's cool to look at, but the triplets aren't the issue right now.
It's the other four.
It's the other four.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told me that party too earlier. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Amy's favorite Montana. He's a busy one.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah.
He's out here.
He's frisky.
Yes, he is.
All right. So we've had a few days now to digest this loss to the Colts. Of course, we got the immediate digestion in the post game. I guess here we are 3 days later. What are your thoughts after seeing reaction to the team? We kind of know now, the importance of the slot receiver position on this team was exacerbated in that game, and that's obviously something you used to do for this team. What are your initial thoughts 3 days later on this whole thing?
I got about a few things come to mind. One of them is the offensive line really struggled, or that's the offense period, because I blame some of this on the quarterback as well.
Mm-hmm.
And O'Brien, honestly, the offense really struggled with a lot of stunts and blitzes up front, and it didn't start with the Colts. It started with the Browns. So the Browns with Greg Williams, he likes to throw anything and everything at you, stuff like O'Brien said, you've never seen before. And the Colts said, okay, if you struggle with that, we're going to do some of our own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they did some blitzes, and we talked about in the postgame show that it's hard to see because they did it last-minute stunts and X's and sending nickels that normally don't come and safeties. And they did a good job of it. And we didn't do a good – I say we – but the Texans didn't do a good job of picking it up. And mm-hmm. that's something moving forward in the playoffs you have to be on your P's and Q's about. That's something that the quarterback is going to have to be able to check if he sees a formation or a defense. He's going to have to be able to check out of the play into a play that can get the ball out quickly
yep.
or a run play that can get the ball out to, or run where the blitz is not coming from, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So moving forward, and Deshaun is still young. So I don't want to put too much on him, right? But that's something that they're gonna have to figure out moving forward because you're gonna see if the Chargers you may be or whoever else the Bengals not the Bengals the Patriots in the playoffs it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I feel like on the other side the Texans tried some of that stuff against the Colts and it just never got home.
No.
They blitzed Tyron a few times and Tyron Matthew a few times. He wasn't able to get there, and we know what happens when Andrew Luck has time to throw.
Their offensive line is pretty good.
Yeah,
they improved that drastically. They looked really good on Sunday.
It turns out T.Y. Hilton's still pretty good, too.
You know what? That's the main thing that scared me. Because going into the game, I'm like, the defense is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Defense is playing outstanding, the front seven, and then the secondary. But the secondary plays off that front seven. So if you're not getting sacks, if you're not getting pressure, that kind of leaves them out that you really have to cover now. And obviously, for the last whatever, however long T.Y.'s been in the league, he's always killed the Texans. Even when I was there, he always killed us. He's just good.
That graphic they put up of the numbers, and like I don't remember who was second on that list, but it was like way behind. You know, like the next guy down on the list, because yeah. T.Y. was obviously at the top, it was like by a good 20, 30 yards average per game.
Yeah,
the two plays, he caught 9 balls, but half of the yards came on 2 plays that to me were backbreakers. By definition, a backbreaker means it kind of ended the game. But these were real, real critical flesh wounds, let's say that, to the Texans. Obviously, the 60-yarder got them the first touchdown. You know, the Colts were struggling offensively at that point in the game. They had four three-and-outs, and then their first long drive ended in an interception with Andre Howe. So that 60-yard play really flipped the field, and one play later, they're in the end zone. And then the 34-yarder that set up the touchdown to Pascal came on the very next play after J.J. Watt got the sack. It set up 2nd and 18 and pushed him out of field goal range. The Texans were finally cracked that code on the offensive line with the Colts.
Yep.
And then he just drops it right in that cover 2 bucket to T.Y. Hilton.
And that's the thing, because they attacked Sharice right side both plays.
Back-to-back plays with different guys.
And we were watching that, and it's like, okay. Why is Colvin on the sideline?
Mm-hmm.
You paid him $18 million guaranteed to play in the game, and he's healthy now. I understand you think he's an inside guy and not an outside guy. That's mainly what he did with the two great corners that are in Jacksonville. But I'm thinking they don't think highly of him if he's not getting any type of playing time except garbage time.
Yeah.
So it's just really it's alarming, and we talked about it, you're going to see a lot of good receivers. You could be if it's the Chargers, the Patriots, whatever. You're going to see tons.
Hey.
Everybody in the playoffs right now, they have great receivers.
Cecil, and if the Colts are the second wild card team, the entire dance card of quarterbacks in the AFC are all, including Deshaun, are all franchise level quarterbacks.
And they're going to find their targets. They're going to do what good quarterbacks do.
Yeah, that was a disheartening thing to me about that game.
Now that the streak is over, and it kind of could sound cliche, but is it okay? Are we allowed to say, hey, maybe some of those wins came against teams or, you know, offenses in this case that weren't as explosive? I'm not trying to take away, because you can only play who's in front of you.
Correct.
And you want to enjoy a streak like that, but you're going to see teams more like what the Colts are capable of doing in the postseason, which is where this can all come crashing down if you don't fix and address some of these things we're talking about.
I think it's a fair assessment. I think, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but I think it's a fair assessment to look at the 9 games that you've won. And to see how good and what, for example, what quarterbacks did you actually play that you will see in the playoffs.
Right.
That are that caliber. And if you look at it, it's just one.
Yeah, and you saw him twice.
Look, and you saw him twice.
At the beginning and the end.
In the beginning of the year, he was young. He's not young, but, you know, he was still becoming himself.
Yeah.
Now he's rolling. He's rolling. And honestly, T.Y. killed you that first half in the first game you played.
He did.
He had 90 yards in the first half. He was injured the second half.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair assessment. Of course, you want to acknowledge that, hey, 9 games is tough to win in the NFL. It really is. And they did a great job of that. So now they got to figure out how to, you know, and they should honestly win the next 3 games.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's tough for him. You know, he's got to figure that out along with the medical staff and the strength and conditioning staff. They've got to, you know, we've all got to work together to try to help him. He's doing better. He's trending towards being able to play. He's a really good guy. He's tough. He's smart. But, you know, he's got to try to get back on the field.
That's Bill O'Brien talking about Kiki QT, who is working on his third outage from a hamstring injury. The first one that knocked him out for most of the preseason, came back in week four against the Colts and was hurt a couple games later, came back again later in the season, hurt again. You know, we'll see. They're at a juncture in the season where it's like, okay, well, let's get him out there and try it one more time. And if it doesn't work, then they'll have to figure this thing out in the offseason. But Cecil Shorts is with us for his 4 o'clock hour visit here on Wednesdays. Adam Clanton in for Rich Lord. Having gone back and rewatched and consumed that Colts game again on the offensive side of the ball for the Texans, what does whether it's Kiki or DeAndre Carter, because they had Joe Webb out there at slot, and God bless Joe Webb, but he's not a slot receiver.
Yeah.
What can a Kiki QT or a maybe poor man's version in DeAndre Carter do for this offense going into these last three games?
Well, number one, it gives you another playmaker that can beat man coverage.
Yeah.
Because I think Sunday, when you double Hopkins, they were saying, okay, we double Hopkins, we're going to stop the run. So that's Lamar Miller's out, Hopkins is out. We're going to let you beat us with somebody else. So Demaryius Thomas, you have to beat man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Or the tight ends, y'all have to get open.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't do it on a consistent basis. So when you have Kiki in the game, he can do that. He's your next probably best playmaker on offense right now besides Miller and Hopkins. And on top of that, he helps you beat the blitz.
Yeah.
So when you have the blitz coming,
he gets open quick.
He gets open quickly.
Yeah.
And he understands the offense, understands the checks and the hot routes, and he can help communicate with Deshaun, hey, look out for this. This is coming. Even as a young player, if you watch him in the very first Colts game, he had 10, 11 catches.
He had 11 catches in his first game ever in
and
the pros.
And he was able to get open quickly.
Yeah.
And he makes some plays down the field. That's what you need.
The thing about this that makes it even more pronounced, too, is Will Fuller's absence, because that's just another depth thing. He's more of your vertical threat, but then you take another guy away like that, and just it's the trickle-down effect. And you've got the next thing you know, you got Joe Webb out there at wideout.
Yeah, not good times at all. Kiki's pretty tough, too. He gets the football in his hands, that's the one thing that surprised me about him. I knew he was quick. I knew he was fast. I knew he had great hands. When he gets up ahead of steam and he starts running after the catch, he usually, when he gets hit, he falls forward usually and gets a couple extra yards. For a wee little fella, he's a tough dude.
A wee little fella.
Yeah.
No, but he is tough. He runs the ball with something behind it.
Yeah.
He does a good job of running after the catch, but he's physical.
Yeah.
To be 5'8", 5'9", and be able to, you know, break tackles, and that's a credit to him, but we need him on the field. So whatever's going on, I'm interested to know if it's the same hamstring, because I don't believe, and I had a lot of hamstrings when I played, I don't believe that it's the same one. I think it goes back and forth.
Is your experience with them kind of what us sideline folks have been sitting here and say, you know, I think Adam and I, guys like us, walk around with pulled hamstrings all the time.
We're all day to day.
Yeah. But as far as elite athletes go, is it really one of those injuries like you've got to be all the way back to 100% before you're even back there on it because you can have a setback, or is that an injury that you could play with at 90%?
The only way to get fully healthy from a hamstring pull is to not do nothing for 4 months.
Okay.
You got to sit down, not do nothing to be fully healed. So you're not going to be fully healed at all, and especially in the football. And, you know, 16 games, so physical, you're not going to be fully healed to do anything. But he has to be able to rest.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tough moving forward because you got a couple cold games coming up with New York and then in Philly. And those things, the hammies get tricky when it gets cold.
Would you try to get eke out one more week for him this week, considering that the opponent is the Jets, or is that not taking is that taking an opponent a little too lightly?
You know what? One thing I've been three places, and I pulled a hamstring in all three places.
Okay.
And they all said the same thing. When you feel like you can ready to play and come back from a hamstring, wait one more week.
Okay.
They all said the exact same thing.
It
so if
sounds...
it was me, I would wait one more week.
Okay. Didn't it sound like he wasn't going to play this week?
Well, it sounded, I'm just going by stuff I saw on Twitter in the pregame when Mike and I, you know, when you're sitting there and the show is going on. It felt like that extra week was this week.
Gotcha.
It sounded like the noise was that they thought he might come back, because he was limited participation in practice heading up to the Colts game. So he was not a DNP leading up to the Colts game. So it sounds like, from the tweets I saw, that the extra week was this week, leading up. In other words, like he could have played against the Colts, but waiting another week for the Jets. But
well, perfect.
You bring up the cold weather, and you know the short week doesn't matter to him. It's been one, you know, it's been a 3 week period since the last hammy.
And you know what? Too, one thing I learned throughout this process is hydration. When you fly, right?
Yeah.
You're dehydrated. You're losing a lot of water. So it's important. And the young guys might not know this. You have to drink. So when you get off the plane, they always told us to. We need to drink like 2 Gatorades and like 3 bottles of water while we're on the plane, depending on how long the flight was.
Dude, what was the bathroom like on that flight? Well, how long was the line?
Honestly, guys don't really do it, though. Yeah. We're supposed to.
Oh, you're supposed to.
But guys don't really do it that much. When you get off the plane, you're dehydrated, and then it's important to hydrate that whole time getting ready. So if you hydrate, you're fine. But if you don't, you're at risk.
Crap. I was going to ask you who has the smallest bladder on the Texans when you were on the team. Who's the
so
biggest?
Who did?
Yeah.
I'll ask.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah.
We can play it off.
It's just a small bladder, Cecil.
It's a little bladder.
We're not asking about other body parts. All right.
What? Same region.
All right. So the Texans are actually going up. I'm just thinking about this. Their last three opponents this season, the Jets this week, the Eagles next week, and I'll throw the Jacksonville Jaguars in there in week 17. All are or have recently been dealing with quarterback strife of some sort, right?
Oh, yeah.
Darnold with the injuries leading up to this game. McCown. You know, I think you could argue, like, I'd rather see Darnold than McCown in this game just because I feel like McCown would 60-year-old man his way through that game and just dink and dunk and might give them a chance. I think they're going to turn Darnold over a few times in this game. He's susceptible to that and doesn't throw well under pressure. The Eagles now all of a sudden have a quarterback issue with Carson Wentz reportedly missing the game this weekend with a back issue. And the Jags always have a quarterback issue as long as Bortles and Cody Kessler comprise their depth chart. But specific to this specific, I hate to sell out your boy like that, former teammate of Blake Bortles. Just laugh. That's all you need to do. But this Carson Wentz thing and Nick Foles in week 16, what's your initial reaction when you see that Carson Wentz might not be playing in week 16 against the Texans? Is it a good Carson Wentz is pretty good at football, or is it, man, Nick Foles was pretty good when he came in relief last year?
I think either way, the Texans would have been fine, honestly.
Okay.
But when I hear that he might sit out the rest of the season, it's a pretty serious injury.
Yeah.
You don't sit out your starting quarterback, your franchise guy that was almost an MVP last year if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
And for the last three games of the year, if it's not important, right?
Yeah.
So he must have a serious back issue going on, or maybe even his knee is bothering, whatever the case may be. But honestly, if I'm a defense, I want to see your best player, right? I want to go against Carson. But as a coach, putting my coach's hat on, I don't want to see the backup quarterback. I don't want to see
not enough film on him.
And he does something different than the starter.
Right.
You know what I mean? He brings something different to the table.
Especially that quarterback versus Wentz, who's a more athletically gifted guy.
So I'm preparing for Wentz, and you prepare, you know, weeks ahead of time. You're preparing for Wentz. Now you got to, okay, abort that. Now you got to prepare for somebody that you really don't have on film this year. That's tougher to do. So me personally, I'd rather see Wentz than Foles.
Okay. What do you think about this Pittsburgh-New England game coming up this weekend?
I think Pittsburgh's done. I think the towels,
well,
the yellow
Texans
towels are
Cecil.
In. Big Ben.
Get ready to do a post-game show the first week of January then, because they ain't getting a bye if Pittsburgh's done.
So I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for them, but I just don't see it. I think it's too much. They dealt with a lot of adversity this year. With the Le'Veon Bell situation.
A lot of personality
and kind of
adversity.
Going on.
Right?
And then even with Big Ben coming out and kind of going against or kind of calling his teammates out, he should have caught that ball, or he should have did this, or he shouldn't have slipped. We talked about during the week, where a certain footing.
That's not really like him either, is it?
It's not. I think it's frustration.
Yeah.
I think it's frustration, and it's starting to get the best of him. And with Connor being hurt, Big Ben, he kind of is always hurt. He kind of plays through it.
Yeah.
And then Antonio Brown, even though statistically he's not a bad year, he's not happy.
No.
He's not happy at all. He wants to be the number one guy getting all the targets all the time. Well, you have a guy named Juju who is playing outstanding right now. And in my opinion, he's your number one receiver.
How would you feel if the Texans wound up playing the Steelers in a 3-6 game?
Very confident.
Really?
Very confident. Okay. Yeah. I don't think Big Ben would be healthy enough. And he has played, honestly, if you look at some of his last week, the touchdown he threw to Juju on the goal line, that should have been picked off as well.
Yeah.
The week before.
He's gotten lucky.
He's making bad decisions, especially in that red zone area.
Yep.
And when you go against guys like Watt that are in your face, that's like Clowney, like Merciless, and them guys, they're going to force turnovers and make them make bad decisions.
All right.